What were we talking about last week? Compassion. What is compassion? What does compassion do? It puts us into action. When we see somebody in need, compassion should motivate us into action. Right? So today I want to talk about living generously. Living generously. Because we have a lot. And it's also part of growing in Christ-likeness, growing in godly character. So we have seen the commitment that is required to follow Christ, that we must deny ourselves. We need to pick up our cross, to die to self, not to live for self. So I want to read Matthew. Can you put that on there? Matthew 25. So we're going to read Matthew. This is the New King James. It says, "Then the righteous will answer him." I don't know why the screen's doing that. Let me read it. Matthew 25. Just make it smaller, John. So Matthew 25, 37, it says, this is Jesus saying, "For this was when I was hungry, you gave me something to eat. When I was hungry, you fed me. When I was thirsty, you gave me and gave you drink." Oh. "When did you see Do you have it? Read it, Eric.
"Then the righteous will answer him, 'Lord, when did we see you hungry and feed you, or thirsty and give you something to drink? When did we see you a stranger and invite you in, or needing clothes and clothe you? When did we see you sick or in prison and go visit you?' The king will reply, 'I tell you the truth, whatever you did for one of the least of these brothers of mine, you did for me.'"
Amen. So when we have compassion, when we live generously, we're doing it for the Lord. Right? Sometimes we think, how can I afford to be generous? Some of us were like, how can I afford to be generous? You know, generosity does not always it's not about money at all either, right? It's part of money, but being generous with our time, generous with our gifts, generous to what God has called us to be doing. We're supposed to help others, encourage one another. That's being generous. Sometimes we overcomplicate our lives by being so busy doing other things that has no heavenly value at all. We get caught up in work. We work silly hours. Right? There has to be a balance. Generosity is a decision to donate money to a worthy cause or buy a meal for someone on the street. Those are generous acts. But generosity in the context of authentic love is much more than financial giving. When we love authentically, we have an attitude of generosity in all we do. So I'm generous in what I do. I'm pouring out to others. I'm not looking for something to get back out of it. We see how God was compassionate. When Jesus was so compassionate, he prayed for those who nobody wanted had to deal with them. He didn't want to have nothing with them. Jesus always touched the the healing, or the sick. Sometimes, you know, when we were busy in life, I want to go to sleep, and say your kid at 11 o'clock at night wants to talk to you. Right? And to be generous, you're like, oh, can we do it tomorrow? And we're like, he goes, no, can we talk now? Us denying ourselves and spending time with them, being generous with our time. What about when a friend needs a ride to the doctor? Do we just say, here, I'll just drive you, even though I may be busy? Proverbs 11:25. Okay? Proverbs 11:25. Proverbs 11:25.
Yeah, this is 11.
Yeah.
A generous man will prosper. He who refreshes others will himself be refreshed.
Amen. So there's refreshing when we bless others. You notice when we give, how it encourages somebody? When we give them our time, even when we bless them buying lunch or food for them, how it blesses them, how to help them with their vehicle. It blesses them and it encourages them. And it refreshes us because we know that we're doing something that the Lord is happy about or pleased about. Because when we read in Matthew 25, they said, when did we do these things? How did we bless you? How did we feed you? How did we give you something to drink? We're doing this because of the Lord, because of his love towards us. We are stirred to give. Sometimes we think, I don't have the finances. We have this poverty mindset. I don't have enough money. I'm just scraping by. But poverty is a mindset that is becoming more rampant in our culture. The problem of poverty mindset is that you allow something other than God to be your Lord. Does that make sense? Sometimes we think, how can I give? I don't have the finances. Think of when the widow or the lady who had just a little bit of money and she gave. Are we giving, even though it's going to cost us greatly? Or do we just give from the excess money that we may have? If I have $1,000 in the bank and I give all $20, so I might feel like, you know. But if I only had $20 and I gave $20, that's something from the heart. It's a sacrifice. You know, when we have poverty, this fear of not having enough, it's hindering. We're not going to really trust the Lord. So when we step out in generosity, we're stepping out in faith. So God wants us to become generous so that his will be done in our life. And I have some examples, so we're going to read some scriptures. But first, it's ever hot in here. Change the subject. Whew. I know some of us might be cooking. Can you open the door? Because it's scorching hot in here. I'm going to have a puddle. I know. It's like I'm in Mexico or somewhere. So one of the greatest challenges we face in our quest is to enjoy, is the best what the Lord has for us. The Lord has given us a lot of things. He's given us talents. He's given us financial stuff. But how do we use those things? Do we use it for selfish gain? Or do we use it to bless others? Do we want to be a blessing? This takes action. We say, Lord, I want to be used by you, but Lord, I'm going to hold on tightly to what you have given me. And Lord, I'm only going to use so much of it. When the Lord says to give, when we tithe, right? We're supposed to give 10%. And everything else above that is a gift. So we're supposed to give more over and above. And sometimes we hold on tightly to what God has given us freely. He's freely given us all things. We're just stewards of his money. We're stewards of our time. And sometimes we waste the time that God has given us. The Bible is based on, it shows them how God is generous to us and how we should be generous to others, how we should be compassionate towards one another, how we should love those who are not, we have a difficulty loving. It's people that we have a difficult time loving. In John 3:16, it's an example how God so loved. Oh, do you have that? 3:16 to 17? Oh, okay.
God so loved the world that he gave his one and only son. Whoever believes in him shall not perish but have eternal life.
What's 17?
I don't know.
For God hath sent his son into the world to condemn the world, but the world through him might be saved.
Yeah. So God sent his son to reveal his love and his compassion towards the world so that they do not perish. So it's a choice. But when Jesus comes back, he will judge the world. But in the beginning, for right now, we should have compassion and show the love of God to people. We should have our love. We should desire to see people being saved so they do not go through the tribulation. Think of the first 3.5 years of tribulation. It's not going to be a sweet deal. Especially the trumpets. If you read through Revelation, it talks about that. Even the bowls, the last 3.5 years. But to love the world, to love the people, but not love the world. I think sometimes we like the world too much. What's Ephesians 5:2? Okay, Ephesians 5:2.
And walk in love as Christ also hath loved us and hath given himself for us an offering and a sacrifice to God. For a sweet smelling savor.
A sweet sacrifice. The sacrifice is not, it's going to cost something. So walking in compassion, walking, giving time to others. Mentoring, helping people financially. Generous living is not easy, is it? And why is it not easy to live generously? Why is it not easy to live generously?
Your sin nature is very selfish.
Yeah. And sometimes we have this attitude of poverty. I don't have enough to give. I have to have so much in my bank in order for me to give. Right? When we have so much.
It's a walk of faith, too.
Yeah. It's a walk of faith. Yes. And we're self-centered. We're very selfish. If you had the last piece of pie, do you want to give it to somebody else? Right? I'm like, I'm going to sneak off and hide it and eat it by myself. Or the last piece of beef jerky or something. Something that you are dearly loved. Right? Are we going to give that to somebody? So motivation. It's about the heart condition, our motives. Right? The Lord changes our heart so that we start being more generous. That we're willing to give that last piece of cake to somebody. Or that last piece of beef jerky. Motivation to live generously reveals how he's transforming our heart from the old into the new. We grow in generosity as we trust the Lord and grow with him. He teaches us how to be generous. The Holy Spirit speaks to us and say, you know, you should maybe give that up and give it to somebody else. Or maybe you should give your last $20 or $30 in your wallet to somebody today. So what's Matthew 6:33? Oh, there we go. 6:33. Okay.
Yep. But seek ye first the kingdom of God and his righteousness, and all these things shall be added unto you.
Mm-hmm. Supposed to seek the kingdom first. To be generous and compassionate, loving, it all comes from God. We don't know what love is. We don't know what compassion is. We don't know what generosity is until we seek the kingdom first. To have the right mind frame, right mindset, is that we need to seek the Lord Jesus Christ first. He teaches us what the right thing is and how to be generous and how to be loving, how to be kind, compassionate. He's the only one that really transforms us and makes us as a new creation to become more like Christ. Because naturally, we're very self-centered people. But as we yield to the Lord, as we yield to the leading of the Holy Spirit, we become more generous. We're willing to give from the heart. And it brings God honor. We realize that we're just stewards of what God has given us. It's something that we do not own. Right? We're only stewards of what God has given us. So in Acts 2, Acts 2, 41 to 47. Acts 2, 41 to 47. Okay, ready?
Yep.
Okay.
41 to 47.
Yeah.
Those who accepted his message were baptized, and about 3,000 were added to their number that day. They devoted themselves to the apostles' teaching and to the fellowship, to the breaking of the bread, and to prayer. Everyone was filled with awe, and many wonders of the miraculous signs were done by the apostles. All believers were together and had everything in common. Selling their possessions and goods, they gave to anyone as he had need. Every day they continued to meet together in the temple courts. They broke bread in their homes, ate together with glad, sincere hearts, praising God and enjoying the favor of all people. And the Lord added to their number daily those who were being saved.
Amen. That's a different type of life, isn't it? people were in that time, there was castes, like there's rich people, poor people. But when they came to the Lord, their hearts were transformed and they were all compassionate. They were seeing if somebody was in need, they helped them. We were talking about this yesterday at the men's breakfast, somewhat. And it's just think if the church was the church that God has called us to be, compassionate, helping, encouraging people, how this world would be, how the church would be actually the center focus of this world, how we would actually be a light, how Christ would be manifested through us. Just think if people gave 10%, if the church gave, people in the church gave, right, even more than 10%. How the widows would have money, how the orphans would be looked after, how people who are hungry would be fed, how the generosity would be growing, and people would see that your heart was actually transformed because you're different. You're actually giving something that may be dear to you. Just think how the world would be different if the church gave like we should be giving. We see in Acts how the church was growing because it was something different. Back then, everybody was greedy. Everybody was saying, this is mine, and I'm not going to help you. But they met the risen Lord Jesus. They believed and gave their lives to Christ, and their hearts were transformed. When our hearts get transformed, we become compassionate. So 2 Corinthians 8:7. And then somebody can read 2 Corinthians 9:12 to 14. 8:7. And then somebody can read 2 Corinthians 9:12 to 14. 9:12-14. Okay.
Therefore, as ye abound in everything in faith and utterance and knowledge and in all diligence, and in your love to us, see that ye abound in this grace also.
Okay. 9:12-14. Yeah.
This service that you perform is not only supplying the needs of God's people, but is also overflowing in many expressions of thanks to God. Because of the service by which you have proved yourselves, men will praise God for the obedience that accompanies your confession of the gospels of Christ, and your generosity is sharing with them and with everyone else, and in their prayers for you, their hearts will go out to you because of the surpassing grace God has given you. That's a lot of use.
When people are compassionate, right? When we're compassionate people, we'll say, "Well, praise God. He's given me the ability to do this. He's given me the new heart to actually want to bless people, to encourage people, to give something that He's freely given me." It points to, because self-centeredness is very, you don't have to teach that to us, right? Our kids are very self-centered. Raising them from little ones, what was the, you know, it was like, it's mine. No, you have to share it. No, it's mine. Right? And sometimes as adults, we think it's, no, it's mine. I worked for it. I went to work today and I earned it. So it's mine. No, it's not yours. We have to have the mindset like, maybe we earned it, but God has given us the ability to earn money. He's given us the ability and the talents to go out and do a job, and the finances that we do get is from Him. He makes it so that we pour in the finances and be able to bless others through missions, through community help, through the church, right? I just think of how what would be different if our mindset was different to be generous. Especially this time of Christmas. Just think if we were generous, compassionate. What would this world look like differently? And all the crazy to just go to Jesus. Mm-hmm. Romans 15, 26 to 27. So Romans 15, 26 to 27. And then James 1, 26. Yeah, 126.
15, 26.
Okay.
27 as well? Okay.
For it hath pleased them of Macedonia and...
Macedonia.
Pardon?
Macedonia.
Macedonia. Macedonia and Achaia.
Okay. Don't sit down. Where are you? Oh, yeah. Achaia.
Achaia. To make a certain contribution for the poor saints which are at Jerusalem. I hath pleased them verily, and their debtors they are. For if the Gentiles have been made
partakers
of their spiritual things, their duty is also to minister unto them in carnal things.
As Gentiles, we're blessed by the spiritual things from a Jewish. The church, the Gentile church in that time, blessed the Jewish church in Jerusalem at that time. So they gave their money to send back to Jerusalem to bless the Jewish church. And the Jewish church was so grateful, they couldn't believe Gentiles would pour out money to them to bless them. And from that, there's a blessing for the Gentiles, because we're blessed spiritually because it's a Jew first and then to the Gentiles. To David, just through the Abrahamic covenant, there's a blessing that flows. As we bless the Jewish nation, there's a blessing for us, a spiritual blessing. So when we bless them, we're blessing them because of our love for them. Okay.
26, 27?
Yeah,
it's up here.
Yeah.
If anyone considers himself religious and yet does not keep a tight rein on his tongue, he deceives himself and his religion is worthless. Religion that God our Father accepts as a pure and faultless is this: to look after orphans and widows in their distress and to keep on oneself?
Being oneself from being polluted by the world.
Yeah.
So where the church is called to look after the widows, the orphans, so we don't become conceited. We don't hold back what God has blessed us with. And so easy to hold on tightly to what God has given us. I think of the gospel. Look how tightly we're holding on to the gospel and not sharing with people who do not know the Lord. Especially the time that we're living in. We see the signs and how the end is very near. How the return of Christ is very near. We see what's happening in this world. How we should be sharing the truth of the gospel. Not being afraid what people may think of us, but being compassionate. Knowing that if you don't know the Lord Jesus Christ, you're going to go through tribulation. You're going to go through that time. You're going to be separated from Him if you don't receive Him. I think of brothers, sisters, and friends that don't know Christ. Do I want to see them to go through those trials? Shouldn't that make us hunger to share the truth of the gospel to the people who are lost? Mm-hmm. Not to hold it back? Sometimes we hold on to things we're afraid of letting go. We have nothing to lose. Because we will give an account to the Lord when we face Him at the great white throne. Am I sharing the truth of the gospel? Am I being compassionate? Am I being loving? Am I being generous with my time or with the finances God has given me? To be generous stewards of our time. Are we more concerned about earthly, how we spend it here? Or are we more concerned about what matters in the end? The kingdom. We're only this time here is very small, very short in the big aspect of it all. When we look at how God wants us, we're here for a purpose. He's placed us in a race to do one thing, is to glorify Him as believers. As His children, we're His ambassadors. We are here to share the truth of the gospel to people who do not know Him. Shouldn't that be more concerning than our momentary comfort? Right? We should have a kingdom-minded attitude. Am I more concerned about my well-being than somebody else's well-being? Because I know if somebody doesn't go, if I don't share the gospel, maybe that's the only time they're going to hear it. Am I living a godly life? Am I living as an example of Christ to others? Am I being compassionate and loving? Am I showing them grace and mercy? Am I living a holy, righteous life? That's what we're called to do. We're called to be separated from this world. But we're part of this world, but we're supposed to be an example to others of who Christ is. To be generous stewards of our time. Think of the times that we waste. The time that we waste when we could be out there in this world sharing the truth. Being a good steward of our time, because time in this life is short. We might live here till we're 80 or 90. I don't know. We might only live here. I could live here before I die, before 50. I don't know. My time is short. Our time is short. Psalm, I like this one. This really challenged me once. I'll read Psalm 39, 4 to 5. This really challenged myself. It says, Lord, make known to me my end, and what is the measure of my days, that I may know how frail I am. Indeed, you have made my days as handbreadths, and my age is nothing before you. It doesn't matter how old you are. God, if you want to be used by God, He's going to use you. Certainly, every man at his best state is but a vapor. We're just a vapor. Our time here is very short. Eternally, you got to think about if you had a string stretched out from one arm, from that wall to that wall, and put a little dot over here of our life. That's very small compared to what whole eternity is all about. James 4:14 says, whereas you do not know what will happen tomorrow. We don't know what's going to happen tomorrow. James 4:14. So whereas you do not know what will happen tomorrow, for what is your life? It's a vapor that appears for a little time, then vanishes away. We have to think, we may not live till tomorrow. Our life, we don't know. Only God knows how many days we're here on this earth. And as children of God, we live as if it's our last day. To have a purpose, to be driven to share the gospel to those who do not know Him. God has given us each a certain amount of time and expects us to use our time wisely. That's kind of scary. I think of how much time I've wasted. I've wasted time. I've not always been kingdom-minded thinking. So who can read Ephesians 5:15-17?
Correcto.
See then that ye walk circumspectly, not as fools, but as wise, redeeming the time because the days are evil. Wherefore, be ye not unwise, but understanding what the will of the Lord is.
Amen. So what is the will of the Lord? What's the will of the Lord? To live for the Lord, to abide in the Word of God. So, in verse 15, we're supposed to analyze how we walk. Look carefully how we walk. Does it honor God, or it doesn't honor God? We often say, I don't have enough time. Right? We say, I don't have enough time to do this. I got to be doing this and this today. But sometimes we get distracted by things maybe that don't really matter today. Silly pursuits that we get distracted from. And then we're supposed to, in verse 16, we're supposed to utilize your present time, making the best of the time that we're in. So even though I may have wasted the time that God has given me yesterday or the week before, Lord, forgive me for wasting time. Forgive me for not living as I ought to be living for you. But Lord, I desire to be used by you today. And Lord, that I would take time today to share the truth of the gospel to others. So we're supposed to redeem the time and not waste the time. So we're supposed to have, our time is supposed to be, what responsibilities do we have today? And what order are they in? So we protect, what order are your responsibilities supposed to take? What responsibility do you have as a father? As a father, we're supposed to be providers for the family. Spiritual protection over our family, praying for our kids, praying for our wife, being with them. That's the number one for our father. But also growing in the Lord, first off. Seek first the kingdom of God, right? That's number one. As a father, we're supposed to be seeking the Lord's direction, hearing God's voice, to teach and mentor our kids and our wife. Ephesians 2:10. Ephesians 2:10.
For we are God's workmanship created in Christ Jesus to do good works which God prepared in advance for us to do.
Amen. Isn't that something? It's very sobering. We're created as God's workmanship to do God's will. That's very, when we start reading Scripture, and we analyze, boy, am I not hitting the mark. Right? It's very sobering. And you think about why a lot of churches do not want to preach the truth of the gospel. Because they don't want to offend people. They want people to come back. But really, when you know the truth sets you free. It's liberating. That we know I can't do this. I can't meet these marks on my own strength. I need the Lord's help to do this. I'm looking to the Lord every day and be led of the Spirit to be able to do what He's called me to do. And for all of us. So our dependence on the Lord needs to be growing and maturing. So God's will for our life involves through various seasons of life. So if you have little children at home, a large measure of his kingdom for your life is to invest time in raising them up for him. As a parent, we're supposed to raise, that's our number one thing. Seek the Lord first. Our relationship with him is growing. Then as parents, we need to be teaching our kids the things of God. That's, you know. And then if we listen to him, he'll show us how to do this. We did the Hearing God seminar. We need to know what God's voice is saying to us today. How to be led by him, to how to distinguish his voice. So you cannot ignore investing time in the following responsibilities because God calls you to them. So we're not supposed to forget about raising our kids up in godly homes. We cannot do that. That's number one responsibility as parents. And then for us husbands and wives, we're supposed to, then our marriage is number, raise the kids, and our marriage is important to God, to have a holy and righteous marriage. I was reading in the one devotion that we did, it says, have holy reverence for God. When I love my wife, I'm supposed to have holy reverence of God in my marriage. And sometimes I think, do I have holy reverence for God, for my wife? Do I love my wife as I should be loving her? And then time for at work or school. How do I spend my time at work? How do I spend time at school? All these are important investments for eternity. We cannot neglect any of them. And there's more. But we need to be eternally minded people, thinking about eternity instead of thinking about this world. He also wants you to invest time in good works towards family members, to the lost, right? Praying for those people, being a light, be givers, to be a blessing. So Galatians 6:10, we'll finish with a couple of different scriptures. So Galatians 6:10. I didn't give Eric notes today.
Therefore, as we have opportunity, let us do good to all people, especially to those who belong to the family of believers.
So how can we be good? How can we do that for the believers? How about Hebrews 10, 22 to 25? And then something good is Psalms 90, 12.
Hebrews 10, 22 to 25.
Yeah.
Let us draw near with a true heart and full assurance of faith, having our hearts sprinkled from an evil conscience and our bodies washed with pure water. Let us hold fast the profession of our faith without wavering, for he is faithful that promised.
24.
And let us consider one another to provoke unto love and to good works, 25. Not forsaking the assembling of ourselves together, as the manner of some is, but exhorting one another. And so much the more as ye see the day approaching.
Yeah. Okay. Yeah.
So teach us to number our days that we may apply our hearts unto wisdom.
To apply our days for wisdom. So we may gain wisdom. But how do we, back to Hebrews 10, 22, 24, it says, let us consider one another in order to stir up love and good works. How can we stir up one another in that? How can we stir up each other in love and in good works? Being together in community. As we read in the beginning of in Acts, they were in community all the time. So they were stirring one another up. They were encouraging one another. And that's why their numbers were growing, because they were stirring up and encouraging one another to grow up in the faith of God. They were doing it daily. They were having supper together daily. They were being together daily, encouraging one another daily. Church is not just one day of the week. Church is a community of believers worshiping the one true God. To encourage one another, as we stir up, we see the needs in the community. We stir up one another. It's like, here, we need to help this person. We pray about it. We need to help this widow. We need to help this kids in orphanage. We need to help with the food bank. We need to help in whatever aspect. But let the body of Christ be active within the community. That it really experience, that really shows the life of Christ to others. That how much we love them. Even though they may not love us, it doesn't matter. But we're doing this because we love the Lord. And in Psalm 90:12 says, teach us to number our days so that we do this, knowing that whatever happens today, and if we do pass away tomorrow or being caught up, that we're leaving here as ambassadors of Christ, knowing that we're doing what he's called us to do. We're representing the gospel. We're representing the word of God. We're representing Christ. That's why we're here. We are representing him. So that's why we deny ourselves. It's a huge challenge. And as we spend listening to the voice of God, he will direct us how to do that. And for us to meet as a congregation to encourage and to spur one another on, to teach and mentor our young men and young women to grow in faith, grow in trust in the Lord, not to hold on tightly what God has given us, but be free what he has given us. I'm not saying to be blatantly just blow everything out the door, but ask the Lord, how do you want me to use this money that you have blessed me with? That should be the question. Lord, how do you want me to spend the money you have given me? Help me to be a good steward of this money you have blessed me with. Lord, do I really need to buy that new car? Lord, do I need to buy that hot tub? Right? Hey? It's good for your health. Right? But do we ask the Lord, do I really need to buy this? And he might say, yes, you can buy that hot tub because it's going to be cold. But as we press in, we get to know God's voice. Your money wisely. Am I supposed to? Give it to this person? Am I supposed to give it to this charity? Or how can I be a blessing within the church? How can I come a part of the church and be a blessing, use the talents and giftings that you have given me? Right? It's working together in one common goal to praise the Lord, to have his name lifted up high. So in this time of Christmas, let's be generous with the finances in our time. Let's be compassionate to those who are not, have maybe the finances, or maybe they are low because of what's happening, but encourage them, right? Pray with them, spend time with them, take them out for supper, or bring in supper for them, right? Cook them supper and leave it at their door. But I just want us to be encouraged to live generously. God is generous with us. So let's not be afraid to hold. Let's just freely say, Lord, this is yours. You know, we open up, can't hold it on tight. Open up your hands, say, Lord, this is all yours. My life is yours. The finances I have is yours. My job is yours. Lord, how are you going to use me today? And Lord, I want to be used by you today. Lord, we sang it today, I surrender all. Lord, I surrender it all. Lord, I'm willing to give you all because it's all yours. Right? And let it be from the heart, not just a mouth service, but from the heart. Perhaps we could just sing that last song. Okay. Well, you can do that one. Yeah.